And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world.
Do you sometimes feel like you don't love your life? Like deep inside, something is missing? That's because we're living someone else's life. When we allow other people to influence our choices, we're trying to please their expectations and not ours. That's why loving yourself is so important. On today's episode, my friend Lorena and I are going to discuss loving yourself to create the life you love. Lorena, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony. I'm so, so excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to be here too, and I have to apologize to you and the listeners. My voice is a little gruff today because I've kind of gone and gotten hit with a cold, but you know, the show must go on, and no matter whether I am having my normal voice or my voice with a cold, I still have to love myself. So we're going to lead this by example, right?
Yeah, definitely. We've definitely got the radio voice going on. So,
well, tell me a little bit more about you and your story and how this topic truly resonates with you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Where do I begin? There's so much to go. Well, I'm a manifestation and mindset coach, and I work with ambitious, high achieving women who are really looking to create their dream life. They know they're meant for more. They're feeling stuck. They're feeling burnt out. They're trying to get ahead, and they're really trying to create this life that's going against the grain, leave their 9 to 5, some purpose-driven impact lifestyle. And, you know, a lot of them, high-achieving women, I definitely struggled a lot with this before in the past, come a long way since then, but we do tend to struggle with that hustle, right? That burnout, trying to prove ourselves. And a lot of that comes from validation, from seeking validation outside of ourselves, which can also come from low self-worth, lack of self-love, lack of confidence, trying to prove yourself. For me, this really showed up a lot in my younger years, in my childhood. So what really kind of drove me to get into this work and what I do is I was raised with a narcissistic caregiver in my life for very, very many number of years. And we're talking like 26 years. And it had a huge impact on me, especially going into adulthood. A lot of it, which I wasn't even aware of because I hadn't dived deep into the personal development journey. You know, I always felt like I was just never good enough. I was told I wasn't good enough for things, or I wouldn't be smart enough. I was never doing anything right. So a lot of times that either led me to trying to overachieve, or I would underachieve because I had this fear of like, well, what's the point? It's not going to be good enough anyway. So why bother trying, right? Which is sort of that other toxic trait of the perfectionist side. So this followed me a lot into my adulthood. It was always hustling, always trying to climb the corporate ladder, but never getting ahead, feeling like everyone else was making it, but I wasn't. And I was really always into, you know, the manifestation and the spirituality kind of side, but reading books like The Secret, I'm sure everyone's heard of that. That's sort of like that gateway book into that realm, that world, you know, but it was very surface level personal development I was doing. I was so stuck in this lack mindset and this like victim mindset that I was just like, well, nothing works for me. None of this is working. Even though I was reading all the self-help books, podcasts. And, you know, it wasn't until I think it would be probably 2016, I really hit a rock bottom. I was drinking a lot. I was going out a lot, trying to escape my reality. I was so unhappy where on the outside, it looked like I was, you know, I was working for a really well-known consulting firm in Toronto as an events planner. I looked like I had, you know, that Sex in the City life, Canada style. I'm from Canada originally. So, you know, I was with friends, but I was going out and I was just really trying to escape something. And it wasn't until it really caught up to me. I was on the verge of having what felt like a near breakdown. And I was like, I need to make a change. So I actually quit my job. I saved up everything I could within a few months and I booked a one-way ticket to Australia. And at the age of 30, actually, I went and started living this kind of backpacker freedom lifestyle. And it was the first time in a long time that I truly felt alive. And I realized, you know what, there's more to life. Like, this is what I am craving. I need to do something else. And I'd always had this sort of entrepreneurial spirit to me, but I didn't know what that looked like, because I really felt, you know, we're told by society about how we're meant to live our life, which is the standard. Go to university, go to college, get the 9 to 5, climb the corporate ladder, have the house, you know, all of that. So, but that was so unfulfilling. And that's what was driving me to be so far away from my actual purpose. You know, it took a lot of years of self-discovery and all that. But just to backtrack a little bit, sorry, I left out a key part. When I was in my early 20s, I actually struggled with an eating disorder. And that was really due to a lot of how I was raised and that control and all those things and bouts of depression, anxiety. And I was able to bring myself through recovery through that. And at the time, I was like, you know what, I really wanted to help other women to overcome something like that themselves as well. And I was really looking into becoming like a health and fitness coach to work with women with eating disorders, but I was not ready at the time. I was trying to do it, and it wasn't the right timing. That's how I ended up getting kind of pulled into the corporate world. And I'm glad that I didn't at the time, because I still had a lot of work to do it myself. And fast forward, this is going about 2 years ago now, or a year and a half ago or so, I was at the gym working out, and like, I call it a cosmic 2x4. So, yeah, the universe is speaking to you loud and clear. I was just at the gym and I got this download so strong. And it was like, you have wanted to be a coach for so long. You need to just go and get certified and start doing it. Because I had a massive fear around, I would never be a good enough coach. It wasn't for me. You know, I was doing my own business, still virtual assistant, but I wasn't fully believing in myself to be a coach. And I was like, you know what? So true. Like, higher self was coming through, speaking to me. I was like, I'm just going to do it. Went home, Googled wellness coaching certifications nearby, signed up, and just went for it. And that was sort of the beginning of getting myself to where I am now. And since then, I've further gone a lot further down into doing the mindset coaching and the manifestation and getting further certified. But yeah, that's kind of the basis around how I got to where I am at the moment.
I love that story. It's like you and I have so much in common, and we're so aligned in many things, especially with the whole, there's got to be something more than this in life. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people suffer that. And we also work with people who are getting burned out. I've been doing a lot of work. The highest burnout rates in the world right now, and especially here in the US, are in these areas. The number one is the healthcare industry. You got your nurses, doctors, healthcare workers. They are just the highest level of burnout. And I've been doing a lot of work with people in those fields, but also my old line of work, which is the law enforcement world, being an investigator for years, that field has high burnout. And then after that would be social workers, teachers, and those things. But working with people with burnout who are just realizing that, you know, they want to serve people, they want to do something with their life, but there's something missing. And, you know, getting back to the topic, a lot of it is that they haven't realized that they need to fill up their cup first. They need to fill their bucket before they start filling other people's cups. And that is, I think, a lot of what's missing in the world. And that's why we have a lot of people on anxiety and depression, because they're feeling that they do want to give, but they're not taking the time to love themselves first. And that's why this topic, for me, it really resonated. The other thing is, we're also former neighbors, I guess, because if you were in Toronto, I'm in Rochester, New York. So we were basically just across the lake from one another for a while. I've been to Toronto many times. Usually I head back down toward the other city in my state, New York City, because that's where I'm from originally. But Rochester is my home base. So I'm
Amazing.
Sitting here. You know, this is a place where we get lots of snow. So a little different than Australia.
Yeah, very different from Australia. I'm actually in Scotland now. I'm living in the UK at the moment. So, but still, our winters are much warmer here. That's one of the reasons why I left Toronto, to be honest. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I've thought about leaving that. But anyway, so let's get back to the topic.
Yeah.
So, what do you find is the biggest reason that people aren't willing to take that leap of faith and to try to make that advancement into the life they love? You know, as Thoreau says, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Yeah, you know, I think, well, especially with the clients that I've worked with, and a lot of it is limiting beliefs. It's subconscious programming. It's growing up, stories they've been told and the paradigms they're living by, not feeling good enough, not feeling like it's possible, seeing other people's do it, but like it's not possible for me, and just really lacking their own self-belief in themselves. And we are so much more powerful than we know. And when you're living in this box, this limitation box that you put on yourself, it's so hard to see beyond that, right? And it's not until you actually shift your perspective and actually learn to rewire, work with the subconscious mind, because it's controlling 95% of what we believe and see in our reality, right? So that's why, for instance, I go through a whole holistic approach with the clients I work with to really, start to shift your beliefs and to create your shift your internal world, because your external reality, nothing can change until you start to create that internal shift. And I call it inner radiance. Like, it's creating that inner radiance. So then for your external reality starts to shift as well. But I think that is the number one perspective, is that it's these limiting beliefs and these stories. But the beautiful thing is that it is so doable to change. Once you have the right tools and you understand how to go about and do the inner healing work, you can completely shift your reality in such monumental ways. It's like actually blows my mind still to this day, like results that people have had and I've had in my own life as well.
Yeah. And I think it does all start with that concept of loving yourself
Yeah.
first. And most of us will dismiss that because we're not taught that. We're taught to give to others, we're taught to love other people. And then we're also taught that if we love ourselves, then we're being selfish. And I think that's what
That's a big
happens.
one.
And you mentioned, being involved with narcissistic people in your life, and
Yeah.
narcissists tend to look at people and downgrade them when they start to exhibit those traits of loving themselves more than they love the person who's the narcissist. And really, it's kind of like a sick, twisted type of way to look at things, because who loves themselves more than a narcissist, right? Except it's
Yeah.
for different reasons. But I tend to find that we need to love ourselves. And every day, one of the practices that I'll tell people to do is to look in the mirror when you first get up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror, smile, and you want to say, "I love you," and then your first name. So I would say, "I love you, Tony." You say, I love you, Lorena."
Lorena, yeah.
And smile. Make sure you smile when you say it, because there's something about the smile that's magic. But when you, if you do this every day. I challenge the listeners, do this every day for a week and see how much better you feel at the end of the week. Just a simple, goofy exercise like that.
Yeah, it's mirror work is so powerful. Like, I find if you really actually like look at yourself, like look in your eyes and tell yourself these positive affirmations, or really where it is you want to go, right? If it's like, I'm going to be a millionaire, for instance, or whatever that might be. If you say that to yourself over and over, it might sound ridiculous at first, but over time, it's like you really start to feel that shift. It's so powerful, our words.
Yeah, words are powerful too, and that's why affirmations are so important. But the problem with affirmations, Lorena, I'll get into this a little bit and get your opinion of it, is a lot of us, when do we want to say our affirmations? It's when we're feeling kind of down and low about ourselves. We feel a little bit depressed, we have a rough day, and we say, "Oh, I should probably say my affirmations. I am healthy, I am wealthy." Going into it in that state, it's not going to do too much. You need to get yourself into the right state before you give those affirmations. You need to be in a moment of in gratitude. And I think that's the highest vibration. I've talked a lot about this. People on the podcast are probably sick of me saying, "There he goes again with the gratitude, gratitude." But it's so true. When we're in gratitude, we can't be angry. We can't be upset. We can't be just any of those negative emotions, because gratitude is just that higher frequency it vibrates at. So when we say our affirmations, and that's why people in the in this world self-development community, people like Bob Proctor, will who's really big into affirmations, will say that we need to say, "I'm happy, I'm so happy and grateful that," and then say
Yeah.
something that you want to achieve in the future. For example, "I'm so happy and grateful that I've achieved the house, being able to purchase the house of my dreams," and
Yeah.
something to that effect. Because if we go into it with gratitude, it just gets us in a better state and it makes it more possible. It opens up the doors to possibilities. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that because a subconscious mind loves like present tense. So using words like, yes, I'm so grateful that, like, as if it's already happened, talking in that present tense. Because if you're saying like that negative talk, your subconscious is picking up on that as well, right? But yeah, affirmations, I definitely agree. It's like being in that positive energy of gratitude and also saying ones that feel aligned for you. Because if you're using just anybody's old affirmations, like if they're not feeling aligned for you, but they're, you know, it's not going to work. It needs to be something that's in alignment with what you're looking to bring into your life or the lifestyle that you're looking to create. What would be the future version of that? And start bringing those affirmations in. And also, if you're doing like one thing I always tell people as well is, you know, you can listen to affirmations online, YouTube, Spotify, all those things, or from a recording from someone else, but they're much more powerful. If you actually record your own, you can make your own tracks. That is the best way to go about that. Subconscious loves our own voice.
Yes, because it's more real to us. We hear our own voice saying it, and the subconscious says, "Oh, wait, that's me. I'm saying
Yeah.
that must be true."
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is a great way to do, and we can do it so easily now on our phones. We can just download an app that'll do voice recording, and boom, say our affirmations. Again, make sure you're in a good state when you say those affirmations. Record them and play them to yourself. Maybe when you're lying in bed at night.
Yeah, and I always tell people too, not when you're distracted. Like, don't be like walking around doing the dishes, going for a walk, like not really fully paying attention. Like, you want to really be feeling the energy of it and like being present while you're doing it as well.
Yeah, you have to feel the energy, you have to feel the emotion, and you have to
Yeah.
really be connected with yourself, because connection, I think, is so important. I mean, we connect with ourselves, we connect with others, and sometimes if that connection isn't right, we can tell. Like, I don't know if you've ever had conversation, you have conversations with people and you just kind of, you know that there's no connection, but then there are some people that you meet and start having a discussion and it's almost like the room kind of evaporates around you. It's just you and this person, like you're in this giant bubble together, and you just feel this intense connection. And when we do that, and when we feel that connection, not only with others, but with ourself, and when we begin to understand who the person we were created to be is, and start to manifest that person outside of us, that's when we can really see the magic happen.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I definitely agree. And like, there's so many ways that you can do, you know, to get into that energetic state in the morning as well. Like, for instance, dancing. I love dancing in the morning. Or just if I'm ever in a bit of a slump, like, put a good song, dance, shake it out. Like, that's a great way to all of a sudden raise your energy levels as well and like start connecting with that feel good vibrations.
Well, let's move into that direction now. Let's move into some strategies
Yeah.
for people. People are listening now and they're going, okay, this is all good. I hear about the affirmations, recording my own voice, going into it with gratitude and into a positive state. But what else can I do to create that life that I love? And what are some of the strategies that you would recommend for people out there who are listening, maybe who are a little bit skeptical about some of the things we're saying today?
Definitely. I would say the first thing, the most important thing, is it goes deeper than just self-love. It goes to self-worth because we manifest not just from our thoughts or feelings, which, you know, books like this, The Secret, for instance, really skip is that we need, it's not just think positively because that's spiritual bypassing, that is toxic positivity. It really goes to our worth. We're allowed to feel all our different emotions. We're human, but do you feel worthy of the life you're looking to call in? And a lot of us struggle with low self-worth. So, you know, that's where that external validation comes from. So it's about coming back to yourself, looking about, okay, well, how can I raise my own view of myself and my own worth and be able to receive? That's a big one. A lot of people aren't able to receive, right? This goes in even into money, for instance, like if we're pushing things away or we can't even take a compliment, start looking at ways that you can bring, elevate your own self-worth. And then this will create that self-love as well. And that is such a great place to start. So this could be around practicing receivership. If someone compliments you, instead of saying, oh, you know, like, no, that's fine, or that's old, just accept it and like say thank you and be open to people doing things for you as well. There's so many different ways you can start to love yourself. And it's really like not just maybe the superficial things, but really connecting with like the parts of yourself that aren't so great as well, maybe your shadow aspects. That's when if you can start to integrate and start to love and accept the parts of you that maybe aren't your best qualities, right? But like you know, you're working through them. That's where that really deep self-love from having that compassion for yourself and also celebrating the parts of you that, are maybe your brighter side as well. It's like, and being fully comfortable being yourself in front of people and not trying to hide different aspects of you or shame or guilt, right? Shame is like one of the biggest ones so many of us feel. And that's why doing inner healing work, getting curious around journaling is a great one, bringing awareness to, okay, well, what are some of the thoughts that are running in my head? What beliefs do I have? Why do I feel that I don't love myself? Where is this coming from? And, this is going to really bring in a lot of awareness to what it is that maybe you need to start working through and getting curious, right? That's really, really true. And Byron Katie has those four questions that she asks, right? And I'm probably going to get the order of them wrong, but one of the important ones is that she really asks is questioning those thoughts. Is this really true? Is this thought true? And it would be, who would I be without that thought, right? So if you're saying like, I'm not lovable or I'm not worthy of that, who would you be without that thought? What would that thought allow you to do if it was not there, right? And that is such an incredible question to ask because there's always going to be some sort of limiting belief that's going to come up, but it's as you do more and more of this work, you can actually catch it and become aware of it. And you can be like, okay, well, is this belief true? And 99% of the time it's not, right? And then be like, who would I be without that belief? And I love that question because that's really connecting to that higher version of you. And it's like, okay, well, how can I start to shift this belief now and start to really cultivate this abundant mindset that's going to be more, elevated with that self-love and that self-worth as well?
And a lot of this has to do with our identity and
Yeah.
understanding our identity and asking that question, is this really who I am? And
Yeah.
then there are the I am statements that people say. A lot of times we say that even in affirmations. But when we say an I am statement, I think we have to be careful because we can actually curse ourselves. And curse, I mean, it's like the story of the handsome prince who says something and the wicked witch turns him into a horrid beast, for lack of a better movie that I just popped into my head at the moment, right? And they become cursed. But we actually curse ourselves by saying, oh, I've never been able to do that. I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah.
And I've done it myself. I tend to be somebody, let's just say I prefer my evenings to my mornings. So I'll say the phrase, oh, I'm not really a morning person. By saying that, I'm continuing to reinforce that and
Affirming
reinforce that
it.
behavior and affirming it exactly. So we have to be
Yeah.
very careful about the words that we say and ask ourselves, just like you just said, is that true? Is this a true statement? Well, if it's not, then. Or if it is true, well, is it something that I can change? Is it something that I want to change? And if it is, then make the adjustment.
Exactly. And sometimes it's a journey we have to go down. It's not an overnight process, but it is, do you want to make the change? That's the biggest one as well, right? Because it's that saying, I love it so much. If you're not changing it, you're choosing it, which is so important to look at. And I'd say a really another important thing is when it comes to creating more self-worth and self-love is looking at your standards, right? Because if you're struggling with lack of self-worth and low self-esteem and all that, your standards are probably going to be quite low. People might be walking all over you, low boundaries as well. So really start to look at how can you start to bring your standards up in life, right? What are your standards that you want to have for yourself? Because as you raise your standards for yourself, naturally around you, that's your energy, that's an energetic vibration, right? So people are going to naturally show up differently for you as well and start to treat you differently and start to match your standards. And then all of that lower vibration sort of just disappears from your aura as well, I find.
Yeah, and that's something that I learned from Tony Robbins, who's one of my mentors as well. Raise your
Yeah.
standards, and it'll raise where you are in your life. And that includes the people around us. And I think this is something that people have a difficult time with. I say when there's that quote that says, you are the sum of the five people that
Five
you hang
people.
around with, yeah, most in your life. So I think if we raise our standards and start hanging around with a better quality of people. Now, does this mean totally disregarding our friends or relatives and pushing them? No, we can still hang around them. but it's who we spend the majority of our time with. And when we spend the majority of time with people who are we're truly aligned with or like-minded, maybe who are a little bit above us. And I think a lot of people have a difficult time with this. They don't want to spend time with too many people who are above them because they feel that they're the inferior person because maybe they don't make as much money. They don't drive as nice of a car or live in as nice of a place as these people that they're hanging around with. So they feel like they're maybe the lowest common denominator. But part of loving yourself is knowing that, hey, it's okay. I can contribute to this group just as much as these other people. And I can become part of that. And by being part of it, that in effect will help you to raise your position in your life. Because again, the sum of the five people we are the sum of the five people we hang around with most. So when we raise our standards in those areas, it can make a huge difference.
Totally. And like, you know, one of the things that I love to remind people of is that when, because that's a common thing, right? If you see people who are farther along than you, more successful than you, that comparison can kick in, or not feeling good enough. And, you know, that is really just a proof that it's what you desire. So it's like looking at it as an expansion way of being like, do you know what, like jealousy or that feeling, it's like envy. It's like, actually, that's expansion. That's showing you what's possible for you. You're only feeling that jealousy because you want that. So look at that person from a place of not lack or scarcity of being like, oh, look at them. They've got it, that competition view. But look at it as like, if they can do it, so can I, you know? Yeah. And it's like, that's what's available for me. So that's such a great shift to do, to really start cultivating that more abundant mindset, looking for opportunity, looking for possibility, not in this like, oh, well, he has that. So, you know, I got to get my piece of the pie kind of idea.
Yeah. You know, and envy is something that we have to be really careful for because that can actually hurt us in our own personal growth and our own when we talk about manifesting things. Because if we want something because we envy someone so bad, it's the wrong energy to go into it at. So I think when we're driving down the street and we see somebody who's driving, let's say, a car that we want, maybe they're driving that Ferrari, and if that's the kind of car that you would want to have, and you see them go by. And I know I've been guilty of it too. I go, oh, look at that guy driving that Ferrari, thinking he's hot stuff, something like that. You have that negative, you come up with a negative reaction where if you look and say, wow, that's really great. You know, I'm really happy for that person. He's able to achieve his dream of driving the car that he truly loves, and just leave it at that and learn to appreciate and love other people around us as well as loving ourselves.
Exactly. That is so important. And one thing I do talk about quite a lot in manifestation, for instance, is being wary of, are you manifesting from your ego or are you manifesting from your higher self, right? Because sometimes, for instance, like, okay, we'll use the Ferrari as an example. It's like, is that something you actually want? Or is that something you're wanting because you've seen like that's, you've made it once you get the Ferrari, right? It's like these, not that there's anything wrong with manifesting materialistic items, but it's like, what's the desire behind that item? Like, what does that really apply? So that's why it's important to know your core values on like a soul level of like, what's truly authentic for you. So when you're manifesting and creating your life by design or whatever that looks like, it's like, you know, if that is that mansion in LA or that Ferrari, it's like, okay, well, there's maybe like luxury is something that's a core value for you. But like, if freedom is something, then maybe it's like living in a van and traveling the world, right? Like it's, everyone has their own unique desires. And that's really important. That's a part of self-love as well, is like acknowledging that you're okay. And with like living your path, that even though it's different from what other people might desire.
Yeah. And you have to, it has to be aligned with who you are as a person. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because a lot of times we look at what other people have and we do those comparisons, but when we get right down to it, it's really not what we want. There was something back when I first got my private investigator's license. Now, I was an investigator for the government. I worked for the county here. And I went out and got my PI license to do that work on the side. Everyone would joke around and go, oh, you're kind of like Magnum PI. Or, and I said, well, no, I said, I don't get to drive the Ferrari and I don't live on a mansion in Hawaii. But those are the first things that I brought up. But it's funny how TV glamorizes the whole world of And I'm just using it as an example because that's the life that I was. I was a licensed private investigator, but it's absolutely nothing like it is on TV. And I think we get these impressions of life based on what we see people in TV and movies being. And it's really not like that. And I think when we truly connect with ourselves and love who we were created to be as a person, I think we can move away from that and we can try to set our own expectations and our own goals based on our own desires and really sit down and write down. And I love to do this with pen to paper, especially with clients. Write down, what do you want? I did a goal setting workshop a while back where the first thing I did was I said, okay, take your personal goals. What are your personal goals? And I said, just take a blank piece of paper and start writing things down. Whatever comes to mind, just write it down and do that for like 10 minutes. And at the end, you kind of go through that list and then you put a 1, a 5, or a 10, and even a 20 for how many years that's your goal. And sometimes we get something on that list and we may even look at it and go, that's not really a goal, and cross those things out. And at the end, then I had people circle their 1 year goals, their top 3 1 year goals, things that they wanted to achieve in a year. And the next thing was to write down for each of those goals why it was so important for them personally to ha achieve that within the next year, because again, that makes it real. So learning to know what you want. And I think this is another area that we get into as coaches. You and I, we find that most people, they know what they don't want. They really don't know what they want. You can say, what do you want? And they're kind of very vague. They don't get real specific, but they can definitely tell you what they don't want. So I think to sit down and to focus and to take the time to know what you really want in life. What do you want for this life? And then the next question is, what are you going to give in return for that? And I think that's where people miss it.
That's such a good question. I love that. What are you going to give in return? I think that's such a thought-provoking question for a lot of people as well, because we do, I think deep down, we all have that desire to serve, right? To show up, to help others, and to give from that place of like overflow. But it's so often that we are constantly in this rut, and we're very shut off from listening to our intuition and what it is we truly do want. So I totally agree where a lot of people know what they maybe don't want, but have that trouble connecting with what they do want. And I heard the analogy before and I really love it, but it's like the clarity is always there, but it's almost like, well, living in the UK for an example, it's very cloudy here very often, right? There's always a haze, a bit of that confusion because of outside noise. We're so busy hustling through life that a lot of people don't take the time to actually slow down and spend time with yourself and get clear on like what is it that is speaking to you, right? What is that recurring desire that keeps coming up that you're like, no, that's not possible for you. No, that couldn't happen. You're shutting away. It's just going to get louder and louder. Like my example where, I was Cosmic 2x4, time to go get certified as a coach. Before that, I was having the same recurring dream for like months, and it was so wild. I was on stage speaking. I had a microphone. I was on stage speaking, and I was like, what is going on? I have no desire to speak on stage. Like I said, I was doing behind the scenes, virtual assistant event planning kind of work. And yeah, I just kept having this recurring dream. And then as I was getting more and more into my coaching, I was like, I really want to lead events. And I had so many blocks to get over about like fear of being seen and speaking. Like that's a whole nother story. But that is just like, I was like having these like premeditated dreams about, then that was like that guidance, right? Guiding me to stepping into that next level of myself and getting out of my comfort zone. And when you start paying attention, it's all there. It's just connecting with it.
Start paying attention to what's around you and those thoughts that come to your mind and those dreams that you have. And yeah, because our subconscious will actually communicate with us and it'll tell us these things. It's kind of like that intuition when we have our intuition, when we just know that something is right. And we also know when something is wrong. So we have to love ourselves enough to pay attention to what our subconscious is telling us. You mentioned before the whole idea of toxic positivity, and I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people, when they hear the name of the podcast, Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive podcast, they immediately think, oh, what are you, these, super positive people who everything is great. I said, no, positivity is not about recognizing everything. It's learning how to live in the moment to enjoy what is there for you, but it's also recognizing that, you know what, some things aren't going to be good, but maybe we can find that silver lining in that rain cloud somewhere. And it's not about making everything happy, happy, joy, joy. What was that cartoon they used to sing that song, Happy, Happy, Joy, Joy? I can't remember off the top of my
I don't
head.
know.
Well, some of the listeners probably they might know. The other thing I wanted to mention is about dopamine hits. And did you know, Lorena, that we mentioned money and like something like $10,000. So if we received a check for $10,000 randomly in the mail, that would be a great dopamine hit, right? But you know what would
Definitely.
be even more? And what would affect you even more and make you happier longer? And this was something that blew me away. If you get in line at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, and then you buy the next 10 people in line a cup of coffee, each one of them, and just give them the money and drive off without expecting anything in return, the dopamine hit that you get from that will be better and longer lasting than getting that $10,000. Now, someone might be thinking, yeah, but I could use the $10,000, but
Yeah.
it's really the way you feel inside. So giving to others is really a way to love ourselves. And it even goes back to, if you could look at, ancient readings, like the Bible says, there's that phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. But again, that presupposes that we love ourselves first, because how can we love someone as ourself if we don't already love ourselves? But then when we have that love to give, that can open up the doors and really make amazing things and bring amazing things into our life.
Exactly. Oh, I totally agree with that. And that goes back to like how we're talking about, filling up your own cup first. And I always talk about like I'm a big sucker for morning routines. I love morning routines because this is how you prime your energy for the day, right? If you're just like waking up, first thing you do is open your phone, you're seeing, sad things on the news or things that are going on in the world or just social media, all those thoughts are going straight into your head and your subconscious is the most susceptible then, right? Just waking up. That's going to set your tone. So you're like, is this actually your mood or someone else's mood for the day that you're already picking up on, right? So when you actually take that time and intention to prime your own energy, what's going to make you feel good to get in the day? How do you want to feel throughout the day? That's also setting a time and showing yourself that love in the morning that you matter. Because if not, your attention is just going to be pulled in all these different directions, right? We live in a world that, yes, people have busy jobs, they've got families, they have hobbies, all these other things, relationships that does require a lot of time. But if you are not, if you're running on empty, you're just going to be showing up feeling burnt out, resentment, frustrated. And that is going to be not coming from a place of love, right? That's going to be harming yourself, harming your relationships. But if you can start to come up from a place of where your cup's full and you're giving from a place of overflow, that is going to have such an incredible impact on how your life, quality of life is going to be, regardless of any money or anything else. Like that alone is priceless because your health, your wealth, your internal wealth is going to be so much better in all other areas of your life as well.
Yeah, it does. And it can affect all those other areas in your life. I love that. Definitely. So before we wind things down today, Lorena, is there anything else that you would just love to share with those listening about how to just create that life that they love and where it begins? What would be maybe their first steps that they could take if they were trying to map that out?
First off, I would just say have like compassion for yourself because I remember when I was going down this journey and like I one day my self-love was so low. I remember sitting on a bench in the park one day and I was reading this book about this guy who just said, I just said, I love you to myself over and over. And I was trying that and it wasn't working. And I thought it was hopeless for me, honestly. I was like, I don't know how people love themselves. I feel so low. And it felt impossible. But you know what? I've completely changed that around over the years. And it is possible, like have that compassion for yourself and give yourself that grace and take it one step at a time because you're going to have up days, you're going to have down days, but start to show yourself little gestures and treat yourself like take yourself on a date, buy yourself something nice without feeling guilty, and start to like journal on the things that you love about yourself. And if you're having trouble with it, ask loved ones, like what is it that they love about you? And get some more insight from that way and just take it slow, but understand it is a journey. Have patience with yourself. But yeah, once you start going down the journey and commit to it, and if you really stick with it, your life will radically, radically change.
Definitely. I would say that the other thing is to get out of your head, because a lot of us, we're walking around in our head. We have basically four quadrants of our life. We walk around in either an associated or a dissociated state. Associated is when we are living in our head and we're not paying attention to the world around us. Dissociated is when we're outside. And then we live in an external and an internal world too. So let me give you another example of a dissociated versus associated, because I want to make sure I explain this one, because it gets a little confusing. I even got confused for a minute. When you picture yourself on a roller coaster, let's just say, do you actually picture you walking over and you see yourself walking in line, getting on that roller coaster and riding it? Or do you picture yourself actually sitting in the car and see what you see when you're riding the roller coaster?
What would I see if I was on the roller coaster? I'm closing my eyes for a minute. You know what? Both. I can kind of see
You
both,
can kind of see
but like
both,
in the
right?
roller coaster.
Yeah,
Yeah, in the roller coaster.
if you're riding the roller coaster, you're in an associated state. You're actually present in that moment. When you're dissociated, you're not present in the moment. So most people are walking around, they're not really present in the moment. So they're dissociated. But they're also living in an internal world where they're inside their head and they're not paying attention to the world around us. So what we want to do is we want to get into that associated state where we can feel what's going on around us. We can see the world through our own eyes, and yet at the same time be out in the world paying attention to everything around us. And that will really make a difference, because all those opportunities in the world that are out there, that are in front of us, they'll all of a sudden start to show up, and things that you didn't notice before. So I would say a big thing is getting out of our heads and just getting out into the world, because that will help us to not only love ourselves, but to learn to recognize the opportunities out there that'll help us create that life that we love.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And then also I would say one of my favorite techniques is emotional freedom technique. EFT tapping is amazing for instilling new beliefs and really starting to rewire the brain and creating more self-love and positive thoughts as well. Definitely recommend trying it. There's so many videos on YouTube you can start with, but definitely try that out.
Definitely. I love that suggestion. Lorena, you and I could probably go on for another
I
hour
think
and
so.
talk about this topic, but I know we're getting to our time. So I just want to ask you, if people were interested in learning more about you, reaching out and seeing maybe if you could help them in their lives, what would be the best way to do that?
Yeah, so I'm mainly on Instagram. It's at Lorina, so Lorina dot Christine. I know Tony, you mentioned you'll leave it in the show notes, but yeah, I mainly hang out on Instagram, and I also have my own podcast as well. It's called the Unleash Your Radiance Podcast, and you can find that on Apple and Spotify as well. So it's a really great place if you're loving all things manifestation, spirituality, entrepreneurship, women empowerment. It's a great place to come and hang out.
Sounds like a great place to come and hang out for sure. And I'll even check that out. So before we close out, I always ask my guests this question, and that is simply this: what does being purposely positive mean to you, Lorena?
I love this question. Purposely positive to me, I would say, really means just embracing yourself as a messy human and really acknowledging the level of emotions we all go through and honoring those and moving through them and striving to be living a life that your majority of the time you're feeling in a state of positivity. You're so lit up with the life you're living. And you are just obsessed with the life you're living in a sense, and coming from that place of positivity in that sense. And that's how you approach the world. I would say that's what, when I think of that word, that's what comes to mind.
And you're talking about striving to thrive, which is all about
Exactly.
what we do here. So everything kind of connects together. Lorena, this has been great. I would love to have another conversation sometime in the future. And I really appreciate your time here today.
Absolutely. I'd be honored to come back. Thank you so much, Tony, for having me.
And you've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And you may be out there having a wake-up call moment, wondering, how can I create that life that I love? I have a free resource. It's an ebook called Strive to Thrive. You can download it at TonyWCoaching.com and start living in the direction of a purposely positive life.